Conspicuously missing from the brand analysis was ABC, which had now been entirely eclipsed by its younger sibling, ESPN. While acknowledging that the 2001-2002 primetime season had been lousy, Eisner lauded the new season as very encouraging, singling out Eight Simple Rules, Life with Bonnie, Less Than Perfect, and The Bachelor as solid successes, and pointed to the continuing strength of My Wife and Kids, George Lopez, Alias, The Practice, and NYPD Blue. He also promised that ABC had a number of great new shows for the mid-season and fall of 2003. Eisner, Iger, and television executives Braun and Lynn did have genuine reason for optimism after years of crushing disappointment. During the November sweeps period, ABC had its best showing in years, coming in second to NBC in the key 18-49 demographic, a dramatic improvement from the prior year's fourth-place finish. Though Monday Night Football and The Bachelor accounted for much of the success, the strategy of a block of family comedies won Tuesday night for ABC, with Eight Simple Rules among the week's top 10 shows. The only cloud on the horizon was the Fox network, which announced the next installment of its surprise summer reality hit, American Idol. Idol would air on Tuesday nights beginning in January. Eisner also called attention to the ongoing governance reforms that he was pursuing with Ira Milstein's guidance to help make sure that the Walt Disney Company continues to serve the best interests of its shareholders. We are instituting new rules for board governance, which will reduce the number of board members and enhance the independence of the board. This should further enhance accountability and encourage the flow of fresh ideas at the highest levels of our company. The steps we took along these lines earned praise from a number of business analysts, including Business Week. We intend to maintain a leadership position in this all-important area. I am pleased to institute these board governance reforms because, after all, I am a Disney shareholder too. By far, my largest personal holdings are in Disney stock, and I added a considerable amount to these holdings during the past year. I did so quite simply because I believe in this company. Still, there were limits to the reforms Eisner would champion, especially when they affected his power and prerogatives. He was furious when Gold, as co-chair of the Governance Committee, wrote a November 10th letter to board members that proposed splitting the office of chairman and chief executive officer. Even though many corporate governance experts, including Milstein, Disney's own lawyer on the subject, were publicly advocating such a separation of powers. Milstein had nonetheless exempted Disney from the requirement, saying the matter could be addressed when Eisner retired. Van de Kamp further alienated Eisner by supporting the motion on the grounds that she felt Eisner was spending too much time as chairman manipulating the board and not enough time running Disney. But the measure was defeated in committee by a vote of 5-2. Indeed, Eisner had little fear from the Governance Committee now that Estrin and Lozano had diluted Gold's influence and Mitchell was co-chairman. At the December board meeting, Eisner proposed that Gold be designated a non-independent director, which would require him to step down from the Governance Committee. This was not as a